नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो
ओम नमो
भगवते
भगवते
वासुदेवाय।
वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नमो नमो
भगवते
भगवते
वासुदेवाय।
वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम
नमो
ओम नमो
भगवते
भगवते
वासुदेवाय।
वासुदेवाय।
So today we'll be reading from Canto 1 called Creation, Chapter 12, Birth of Emperor Parikshit, and we are going to be discussing the last two verses. So this will end the chapter. So first I will quickly read through the first one, which is 1, Chapter 12, verse number 35. Bahuto Bhagavan Rajana Yachayita त्वाद्विचार्निपाम् उवसा कतिचेन्मासन् सुहृदां प्रिया कामयाया। ट्रांसलेशन। लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हैड बीइंग इनवाइटेड टू द सैक्रिफाइसेस बाय महाराज युधिष्ठिर सो टू इट दैट दे वर परफॉर्म्ड बाय क्वालिफाइड ट्वाइस वन ब्राह्मण्स। आफ्टर दैट For the pleasure of the relatives, the Lord remained a few months. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna was invited by Maharaj Yudhishthira to look into the supervision of the performances of the yajna. And the Lord, to abide by the orders of his elderly cousin, caused the performance of yajnas by learned twice-born Brahmins. Simply taking birth in the family of a Brahmin does not make one qualified to perform yajnas. One must be twice-born by proper training and initiation from the bona fide Acharya. Bona fide Acharya. The ones born scions of Brahmin families are equal with the ones born Sudras, and such Brahma Brandhus or unqualified ones born scions must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic function. Lord Shri Krishna was entrusted to look after this arrangement, and perfect as he is, he caused the yajnas to be performed by the bona fide, twice born Brahmins for successful execution. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunnimitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaita Savatuta Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakha Vitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे मृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यश्च पतितनां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदि गौरभक्तवृन्द एव्रीबडि इफ् यु आर् देर् हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे
हरे हरे हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Mother Gandhari, so There's no purport in the next one. Do you want us to all mute and then you're going to chant that verse later? How are you going to do this?
Yes, I'm going to do it after I discuss a little bit about this.
So do you want everybody to mute right now?
Actually, it's pretty quiet, so I don't think it's actually, it's okay. We can
all
leave
right.
it unmuted. Okay. It's very quiet today. So thank you very much for giving this opportunity for me to study. I'm actually feeling very nervous because today is an auspicious appearance day of Madhvacharya and a very wonderful day of Ram Vijay, sometimes called Dasera. So I feel very unqualified to speak on these topics, but I'm requested. So I'm asking your blessing to please allow me to say something and share whatever I have heard in my life so far. So we are coming towards the end of this chapter, and it was a great fortune to hear different speakers talk on different verses. And this chapter is very significant in the sense about the birth of a great king who was ruling the whole planet for 5,000 years before. So I find it very easy when I talk to people from different countries and a little bit interested in Krishna consciousness, and when they ask me if I'm from India or any topic comes about India, then I refer to this chapter and saying that actually the whole world was ruled by some king, under one king beforehand, and all the different cultures spring from this. And it actually immediately catches their attention because intelligent people are already aware that they have some kind of connection, and already they are attracted to Vedic culture or Indian culture, and right now it's very prominent everywhere. So it becomes a great joy to talk from that angle, you know, about how there is similarities in different cultures. So it becomes really easy, and you can make friends, because one of the method of preaching is to make friends. So this is a very quick way of making friends, is to find similarities in one's culture, lifestyle, likes, dislikes, dress, country. So if one has read the whole Bhagavatam, then one can talk on any subject matter to anybody he meets. The reason is right there in the preface of the Bhagavatam. Also, Srila Prabhupada mentions that every aspect of world knowledge is within the Bhagavatam. So a preacher, if he has gone through the whole Bhagavatam once, at least once, then he'll be able to talk on any subject. So this is something that I just wanted to share with you regarding Maharaj Parikshit being the ruler of the world, and how this chapter mentioned his astrology was done at his birth. Different samskaras were observed, especially the birth ceremonies called Jati Karma, Krama, and Janma Tithi. Janma Krama, like that. So what happens is the parents or the grandparents, they give in charity, invite the Brahmins, the astrologers, and this is still current. And we went through and discussed that astrology is a valid science, and Srila Prabhupada mentioned many places that if it is performed by qualified Brahmins, then it would be good. And he says that these sciences have to be is made available free of charge to the citizens, and it's a duty of the state to make all these sciences available free of charge, because the state has to take care of the Brahmins. If the Brahmins are properly taken care of, then there won't be all this necessity for greed or them having to work or maintain themselves. So these are some of the main points in this chapter. And also all the different qualities of Maharaj Pariksit were mentioned. The qualities were compared to different demigods, different opulences in the material world, like he was going to be strong or steadfast like the mountains, he was mentioned, and religious, and following in the footsteps of Lord Krishna, as it mentioned in the few verses before. So his qualities were mentioned, and he's almost, it was almost like his whole lifespan was chalked out in the astrology, and it is made public. And Maharaj Yudhishthir personally was in charge of getting it done, and he personally gave in charity. So they were pleased, because the duty of the king is to make sure that they have an heir that would continue with their tradition and the dynasty. So then there was the discussion about the qualified son, which Maharaj Pariksit was mentioned as being that, and which brings me to one of the points that I wanted to mention in the last class, that we mentioned that he is called Putra. The one who Putra is the one who delivers his ancestors from the hell called Put. So it could be only a person who is a qualified devotee. So this could be done if a person takes to devotional service. So that was mentioned about Pariksit Maharaj, that he is a qualified son following in the tradition of his ancestor and the family tradition. So the point that I wanted to make was that another duty is that he will take on the mission of his father, just like Pariksit Maharaj is was going to be ordained the king of the world. So it is our duty as followers of Srila Prabhupada to follow in his footprints of preaching vigorously, strongly. And what was disturbing for so many years was that, personally to me, was I noticed that Srila Prabhupada had written so many letters to the world leaders. And now it is so pleasing to see that so many of our leaders are finally approaching state heads, presidents, and especially we can see that Radhanath Maharaj had especially come across Obama and met with him. So this is finally coming to be, that a son would carry on or continue with the tradition of his father, and that's called real Putra, Putra who would fulfill the desire of his acharya, of his father. So similarly, Gopakrishna Maharaj has been also doing that in India, and I'm sure there must be quite a few others. So I'm not too much knowledgeable personally, but it does seem that now senior devotees are making effort towards that, of preaching to the state heads like that. So in this verse, also it's mentioned that Maharaj Yudhishthir had personally invited Lord Krishna to make sure, be the head of, in charge for this yajna that he wanted to perform. And the yajna he wanted to perform was for counteracting the sin, so he thought, that were incurred from the war. And there were so many people that were killed. So he, even though Bhishma Dev had assured him many reasons, he gave him many reasons, but he was still feeling dissatisfied, so he decided to perform this yajna and he invited Lord Krishna. And it is said here that Lord Krishna would abide by the order of his elder cousin. So we can see the interaction between them. And Lord Krishna made sure that this yajna was performed by twice-born initiated Brahmins, not that Brahmins who were once born who don't have proper initiation or qualities or nature of Brahminical culture. So how this is a very strong statement, how Srila Prabhupada compares them to Sudras. The people who are born scions of Brahmin families are equal with the once born Sudra, and such Brahma Bandhus or unqualified once born scion must be rejected for any purpose of religious or Vedic functions. So we can see Srila Prabhupada wanted to create Brahmins, and he said that was the dire necessity of for this age because there's no real Brahmins. So that was his first mission, and he saw it as an emergency. So despite having broken so many Vedic injunctions, he was focused and continued the mission that was given to him by his spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness in the other worlds outside of so-called India today. So Srila Prabhupada, by reviving creating these Brahmins who should continue with his mission of establishing the new world order, as we heard today in the Srimad Bhagavatam class in Alachua, it was a really nice class. And one can hear it in their website. They have recording of the podcast. And so it's mentioned that in there it was mentioned that we should continue and work on behalf of Srila Prabhupada to establish this Devi Varnashram, where first of all Srila Prabhupada started by creating Brahmins, giving this process of Krishna consciousness, and start the Sankirtan movement as started by Lord Chaitanya. So we can see actually presently that this Sankirtan movement is spreading all over the world, and we have 400 centers and maybe more. So this is quite an amazing thing that's happening, and in our lifetime that it seems like we have gone through the teething problems of starting of this movement of ISKCON within 40 years, and now the movement is going full force with the Sankirtan movement, except in North America we seem to have quite a few problems where the temples are empty, yet the Sunday feasts are going on. So the devotees, leaders, are working very hard in their meetings to decide how we can revive the sleeping giant, which is North America. And we can help by having good wishes, blessings, good thought in reviving USA's Krishna conscious and Sankirtan movement. So once that is up, then we can start working on establishing this Devi Varnashram. Then ultimately following in the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit, where the whole world would be under Vedic culture. And hopefully we would have leaders that will be qualified to run the states, and they will be Krishna conscious. And that was the desire and wishes of previous Acharya, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His dream was to see when would be that day when the High Court Judge will be wearing tilak. And we are not very far from that, because we do have devotees who own some radio station, even in Africa, that wear tilak, and they are devotees. So things are happening. So we just have to continue in that way and keep the focus of our Acharya's mission and become worthy sons, putras of our dear God, dear Acharya, our father, our Param Guru. And this is what I wanted to share in regard to Maharaj Parikshit, and in comparison to Srila Prabhupada's submission and the vision of the previous Acharya in this regard of Brahmanas, qualified Brahmins, and we should be very thankful, very honored, very blessed that Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. He said, everything is in my books. So within a very short period of time, he translated the most important, the most necessary volumes of books that would require to fulfill this mission, to establish Krishna consciousness. Once the Sankirtan movement is spread all everywhere, then we have to reorganize the society and establish Devi Varnashram and all these rules and regulations for Devi Varnashram, for Varnashram, are mentioned in almost every verse in the Bhagavatam. So here it is mentioned that the qualified Brahmins are supposed to do the Vedic sacrifices and they have to take proper initiation from qualified Acharyas. They have to be twice born, and we already know the qualities of the Brahmins, which are mentioned in 18th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. And then one has to perform yajñas, and Srila Prabhupada will mention in the next verse that this yajña is a Sankirtan yajña for this age, which is very simple, unlike other yajñas in the previous ages. So, and how a qualified person was in charge to make sure all the performance of yajña was done properly, and none other than Lord Krishna personally took on that mission on the request of Yudhishthir. So now we can see the Varnashram principle is that Maharaj Yudhishthir's older cousin is requesting his younger cousin to take on this duty. So Krishna observed that etiquette. And in the previous verse, we know that Maharaj Yudhishthir wanted to gain the wealth or get some wealth. So Krishna indicated there is so much wealth in the mountainous region. So without even verbalizing, the brothers understood, like Bhima and Arjuna, Nakula and Sahadev, understood the desire of the elder brother, Yudhishthir. It's mentioned in there. So that is the duty of the younger brother. So they immediately went to go and search for the gold that was left by the previous kings, and they were eating out of gold plates and throwing it away, just like we throw away the paper plates. So just imagine what kind of civilization that was. And we have heard many times that with the proper Krishna conscious society and the proper king who is a devotee king in charge and who follows the Supreme Lord's instruction, we can actually have heaven on earth. We could have almost like a spiritual planet right here. And none of the people like Mother Urmila's class, she was mentioning, they were neither greedy, lusty, or so much in need for acquiring wealth. There was so much gold there, but it was sitting there. You know, nobody would care. Only thing, you know, they would be satisfied, self-satisfied. So that's the kind of society would be created if everybody becomes Krishna conscious. So I would maybe ask for some questions before we go to the next verse. Or should I continue? It's very nice and quiet. Maybe I will continue.
I'll ask you a question.
Yes.
Manaji, you mentioned that the, I like that term, the sleeping giant. I never heard that before. I like that. The sleeping giant in America that's been discussed, you're saying, with the leaders of ISKCON. I was wondering if, how much you know about that. Was there any discussion or conclusion or ideas as to, number one, why the giant went to sleep, and number two, how to wake the giant up?
Well, I like to know what's happening in ISKCON because I've dedicated my life with this in this society. So this is our home, my home, my ancestors' mission. So it is good to know, and especially we being a preacher, we like to know what's happening. So I like to keep in touch with the different meetings that are happening. So there is a twice a year North American Temple Presidents and GBC meetings, and they post their outcome. So you are aware of what's happening, and it was on Dundwatt. Same with EU, they call it here European Union GBC meeting, and then there's the meetings of RGB. There's not much discussion, there's no need for discussion of why and going back in the past. There is more positive discussion of what's happening, which is very encouraging and enlightening for others to see and follow suit. So that's what happened, and it's so enlivening to hear what's happening in different centers. Right now, the most I find the most progressive center is Seattle. So if you go and see what they are doing up there, you'll be amazed. And there was a recent article by Hari Vilas Prabhu, and how he had opened a temple a few years ago, only a few years ago, and immediately it became small. So they're talking at the temple opening, they're talking about opening a second temple. So what is that? What are they doing? So when we see that there's something positive, devotees can look into what they're doing that is correct and continue and maybe implement something in our center. Not only that, but he's actually been appointed for Hawaii as a GBC now. He's also in charge of Oregon, Phoenix. So when you go there, you may think, okay, because we're so used to seeing and hearing the term Hinduization, and the temple is full of South Indians, but they are coming forward by Krishna's arrangement. And this is my personal view, is to see and to bring South Indian to Krishna consciousness is more difficult than bringing a Christian, because I personally, this is my opinion again, as I said, I find that South Indian people are much more attached to Karma Kanda than other Hindus, because they've been doing that for many years. But here, by expert direction of Hari Vilas Prabhu, thousands of them are coming and being engaged in Krishna consciousness. So personally, I find that that is the Devi Varnashram in actual practice out there, because Varnashram means a culture, relationship, activities based on social etiquette and all that. And it is functioning, and he's bringing that in. And all centered around Krishna. So the upstairs is the temple of Radha Nila Madhav, Lord Jagannath, Sita, Ram, Lakshman, Hanuman, and Shishi Gornitai. And downstairs is a cultural center where they have every day different cultural activities, different classes going on. So those are Vedic arts. And devotees, people are rushing to bring their children into learning these different arts. So he's just opened his doors wide, and people are just coming. And anyway, so that's the point that, Srila Prabhupada said towards his last days, and special to Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, who's in charge of Varnashram ministry, that we have to use intelligent and organize. Organize intelligently. So those two words for establishing Varnashram. Anyway, I hope that answers your question. Anything else?
Madhaji, did you say that this was happening in Seattle?
Yes.
Washington? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, externally it may seem different, but if you see how every week there's a major festival. Every week, so devotees are so fully engaged, and their theme is, if you're not engaged in Krishna service, then you will be engaged in Maya service. and they are so busily engaged, all the devotees who live nearby the temple and doing all the seva. Anyway, any other questions on that point? Otherwise, we'll continue. Okay. So
that's very encouraging.
Thank you. I was there just recently for a month, and got the opportunity to see firsthand. Then we're going to the verse number 36. Maybe we can recite. We don't have much time, but we'll try our best. Tatho rajanya anunata apyanunata. Okay, can repeat?
Tato ragya pyadanyu gyata.
Krishna, Krishnaya saha bandhubi.
Krishnaya saha bandhubihi.
Yayo dwara tim brahman.
Yayo dwara vitim brahman.
Sarjuna yadu bibita.
Sarjuna yadu bibita.
Someone else, please recite.
Tato ragya bayanu gyata.
Tato ragya bayanu gyata.
Krishnaya sahabandhu vihi.
Krishnaya sahabandhu vihi.
Yaya dvandra vating brahman.
Yaya dvara vating brahman.
Sarjuna yadubir vitaha.
I will skip the word to word because we have a lot to discuss again. Pardon me for that. The translation is, O Sanaka, thereafter the Lord, having bade farewell to King Yudhisthira, Draupadi and the other relatives, started for the city of Dwarka, accompanied by Arjun and other members of the Yadu dynasty. So after the yajna is performed, and there was a lot of charity given to the Brahmins and everybody, he stayed there upon the request for so many months, Lord Krishna, 6 or 7 months. And after that, he was asking for leave to go. So finally, Maharaj Yudhisthira agreed that he can go back to Dwarka. So here is a process of how to bid farewell. They are all going, the family members, along with Arjuna and the members of the Yadu dynasty, to see him off. It says they started for the city of Dwarka. So they are going to see him off for quite a while on his trip. So this is how one receives the guest. When first the guest comes, he welcomes him, he gives him a sitting place, he gives him a bed to rest if he comes from a long journey, give him food, like we see in the example of Lord Krishna personally with Sudama, and they perform all kind of wonderful services. And then when the time comes for them to leave, they personally walk him to the door or go as far as to the end of the city to guide him. So this is mentioned of how one can take care of a guest. And this is one of the very important duties of a grahastha, but actually for every human being in the society. So as I said, in every verse, you will always find something about varnashram. So this is one of the principle of varnashram. So how can we say that it's not necessary? Varnashram is not necessary. Because the rules of devotional service and varnashram are intertwined, as the instructions are completely intertwined within the pages of Bhagavatam, within all the Vedic scriptures, within these verses, and within Srila Prabhupada's purport. So As we know, Mother Hare Krishna Dasi has compiled a book on everything that Srila Prabhupada says on Varnashram. And when you look at it, you know, it's even bigger than one when we have one volume Bhagavata. Why? Because every verse says something about Varnashram. So we cannot stay away from it. And I was just mentioning to a devotee just a few days ago that actually Varnashram means maintaining, as long as we have this material body, we have to follow the rules for maintaining it in the material world. So as long as we have this body, we have to follow the rules of how to maintain it, how to clean it, how to eat, how to sleep. All these rules are within Varnashram. So devotees do not give up those rules, right? For many reasons. What are the reasons? To create disharmony or to create confusion among people that, oh, we are devotees, we don't have to do that. Then the non-devotees or other people get confused, right? It actually praises Krishna when we follow these rules. And we have examples of that. And one becomes peaceful, gradually elevates his consciousness, and the rules are all there in Ayurveda, Manu Samhita, other Dharma Sastras, and of course the Bhagavatam. So the biggest confusion is if we take Varnashram separate, as was followed by the Hindus or Hinduism, where they've only taken the Varnashram principles and taken away or removed the devotional principles. But the formula which Srila Prabhupada gave is to first have devotional service because the time was very limited, and then bring Varnashram. So now that is the duty of the good sons of His Divine Grace to start implementing that on making it two parallels, like the principle of pure devotional service, which we are very familiar with, and then adding the principle of Varnashram, that becomes Devi Varnashram. It's very simple. All we have to do is add the actual principles of civilized human beings, as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, that Varnashram is meant for civilized human beings. And actually, Varnashram starts from civilized human beings. Below that is not even considered human society. But as Vaishnavas who are above even Brahmins, right, they are considered the gurus of the society. Vaishnav is a guru of the society. So if he doesn't follow these principles of Varnashram, what can he teach his followers? So these are some of the reasons why we have to look under and start understanding, studying, implementing some of the principles of Devi Varnashram, and then we can teach it and expect our children to continue from there. As I said, it's on almost every purport. Many people, many devotees will say, we don't need this, we don't need Karma Kanda, we don't need all these principles, but you know, it's all chalked out. If you see and study the life of Mahajans, they were following pure devotional service, they were pure devotees, and following the principle of Varnashram while living in the material, in the society. So, it is mentioned that it takes finer brain tissue to understand fine issues or finer knowledge. And this is why we need milk products. We need hot milk, which Prabhupada mentions that it actually develops fine brain tissues. So we found out that actually what happens that only when we have this hot milk, which helps producing myosin, which is the covering of the nerve ending, which helps the electromagnetic wave go through easily. If that covering, the seed, if it is broken, then this magnetic current cannot pass from one nerve ending to the next one. And this was the scientific research on the milk. So this is why we need to protect the cows, to have good dairy products, to please Krishna, so we can offer him ahimsa milk and ahimsa product. So this is all interwoven, interconnected, Devi Varnashram, pure devotional service, pleasing Krishna and the previous Acharya. So I will maybe give 5 minutes or less for any questions on this topic, and then I have a couple other things to mention. If you want to unmute and ask questions from this verse, this is the last chapter, which I should read. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the first canto, 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. We ask Maharaj Parikshit's blessing, so we can have leaders like him to rule the planet Earth for the coming golden age. Okay, any questions? Okay. Maybe then I can continue.
Yes.
Hare Krishna?
Go ahead.
Yes. So today is the appearance day of Madhvacharya and Vijayadasmi. So Madhvacharya, and that is how we get our name, Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya here. And he was incarnation of Vayu, just as Hanuman and Bhima. And he was actually almost like a superhuman being. He had written many books, and he was actually requested to give a commentary on Brahma Sutra, which he did. And I actually feel completely unqualified to talk on this great personality. So I would request that you have time, then you can listen to Chatur Atma Prabhu's talk on saints, Vaishnava saints, on krishna.com. It's a really nice commentary and concise, and he summarizes and everything is there. So the main points was very much, his teachings were very much similar to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he defeated many Shankaracharya followers. So just after Buddhism was thrown out, Shankaracharya came in, and then Madhvacharya actually defeated Shankara's philosophy by bringing in his commentary on the Vedantas, and he had a lot of discourses. And there's some amazing pastime where he was actually one of the persons who was very much interested in physical and sports activity. He would like swimming and mountain climbing, and he was a very big built and healthy person. When they asked him to write a commentary, he personally wanted to go and get the blessing of Vyasdev in the Himalayas. So he actually went there twice, and he received his blessing, and Vyasdev had personally given him a saligram shila with 8 forms of Krishna's incarnation, or 8 forms. And one of the amazing pastimes that happened was because he was at the water quite often, and one time one trader came by, and his boat was stuck, but they were using a big chunk of chandan in the boat to keep it too heavy, so that the boat won't would stay afloat or something. Anyway, so they were having some problem moving the boat, and they asked for his help. Madhvacharya was there, and he helped them, and the boatman wanted to give them some gift, and that gift was the chandan. So when they didn't know what was actually inside, they just thought it was a block of chandan. So when Madhvacharya got it, he broke it open, and inside was the murti of Udupa Krishna. So he installed the murti, and So that is what that Krishna is, Udupi Krishna, and he made sure it's properly worshipped and the priest follow the proper rules and regulations, and they're very strict on fasting on different days, and Ekadasi, complete fast, established like Bhaktivinoda Thakur did at Jagannath Puri. So that is one of his main things. And there are 8 or 9 truth or philosophy that he mentioned, establishing Krishna consciousness, which are similar to Lord Chaitanya's. So we have very little time, so I would request that if you want, you can hear this on Chaturatmata's discussion on Madhvacharya. So we seek his blessing to Lord Madhvacharya here, Prabhu, was it Acharya, to continue with this mission of Lord Chaitanya. And so for Ram Vijay, today was the day Lord Ramchandra finally killed Ramana, and that is why we have this celebration of Ram Vijay. And it is mentioned in Nectar of Devotion that one should not not forget or avoid to celebrate special festivals of the Lord. So this has been followed in ISKCON as well, where we have an effigy of Ramana killed, and we have burnt, and then we have Ramayan plays in most ISKCON centers. And this was in 1977 when Srila Prabhupada was very sick. And devotees went to ask him and mentioned to him that it's Ram Vijay, Prabhupada, what do we do? We should celebrate. And he said, yes, you make laglu. You make laglu, lots of sweets. So they asked, Pisima was there. And then they said, we should ask Pisima to, devotees asked Pisima to make sweets. And then Prabhupada says, yes, yes, laglu, laglu, which is sweets. And then in India, it's distributed, a lot of sweets are distributed because there's this joyous festivities happening that the demon is killed and Lord Ram become victorious and will come back to Ayodhya to rule. So this is Vijayadashmi celebration. And in Vedic culture, it is known and is counted that exactly after 20 days, there's going to be Diwali. So one of the main important point I want to mention is that human beings like to celebrate, and we can see in every culture they have very special month or special days or week during the year where the whole week or whole month is in celebration. Just like in Christianity you have Diwali, and in Islam they have Eid. So this is what's happening in the Vedic culture is the Diwali celebration, and believe it or not, it's actually followed or celebrated for almost 1 month. Preparations are made ahead of time, sweets and everything is made at home, or nowadays people buy them ready-made. And we've written a whole article on that. If anybody is interested, we would share that with you on the reasons for celebration of Diwali in different parts of different cultures, and how they are actually connected with different pastimes of the Lord. Just like in South India, they celebrate Diwali for killing of Narkasura and Lord Krishna releasing the 1600 princesses and how he got married. And then further down there also, this is a day when Bali Maharaj also comes back to his kingdom for 1 day, and that is on Diwali. So I was thinking one time on sharing this article and naming it Christmas or Diwali. Diwali celebration or Christmas it will be. And sure enough, we still have remnants of, some temples still celebrating some way or the other kind of some remnants of Christmas celebration, because we are not fully taking to Diwali celebration, which is giving of gifts, exchanging of prasadam, and inviting guests and inviting devotees in our home to make auspicious. And by the way, the Vedic calendar also starts on Govardhan Puja Day, which is the next day. So we do celebrate Govardhan Puja, but many temples in North America especially are so quiet on Diwali Day, which is quite contrary to what happens in India, because there is full of life and it's almost celebrated like Christmas in India. So why are these two different extremes, you know? So if we, senior devotees, leaders, if we decide, and especially like we mentioned, the sleeping giant, if we want to establish Varnashram, Devi Varnashram, look at the different festivals that are happening, at least in India, and see we can invite more people different ways or means, just like in Yuta temple, you know, Charu Prabhu, there he has a holy festival with such a big pomp that he has almost like 40,000 people come to the Gaur Purnima festival, but he calls it festival of light, a festival of colors. And Diwali is known to be festival of light. So if we celebrate with great pomp, not only will we be preaching and inviting more and more people, but it will satisfy our human needs of celebration of similar days like Christmas, which we grew up with. You know, we have to replace what we given up. And what better thing than wonderfully celebrating coming of Lord Ramchandra back to Ayodhya, which is Diwali. All right, so that's what I wanted to share with you. And now you can ask a few questions if you have any. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. But under no circumstances do I ever imply that we should not focus on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra and going deeper and studying the philosophy of Krishna consciousness for going back to home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Is this article?
Sorry?
This article, where is it?
Well, I'll send it only for upon request. It's it was printed in Dandwat a long time ago. Yeah.
Okay, on request meaning individuals?
Yes. Yes, send me an email or I can send it to you again.
Okay.
Okay, any questions?
Thank you for a nice class. Such a nice class, Mataji.
Yeah, I must apologize. I cannot stay away from the principles of Varnashram because they are jumping to me in the verses. Yes.
So, do you follow Diwali? Do you celebrate that yourself?
Well, you see, that's the thing about devotees from Vedic culture background. You know, some are so confused, they give it up saying, oh, we don't have to follow, because they are following what the Western devotees are doing. And half of them or some of them are following it, which they will say, we should never give this up. So I am observing as a third person what is happening in our society. I see that these Hindu devotees from that background, they will never give up some of the rules, which by studying Srila Prabhupada's books seems like pretty logical, that they are actually following Devi Varnashram without them knowing it. That they are following this, of which are celebration, which are followed in Vedic culture according to Varnashram, and they are following pure devotional service by coming and doing aarti for Krishna and taking on so many services in ISKCON. So anyway, I mean, that's my observation.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm curious. You said it was a 20-day celebration, not just a one-day celebration.
No, It's almost a month. Why? What happens is because you have cooked so many sweets and savories for distributing, every day you invite one family at a time to your home, you celebrate for a whole month. And what is the celebration? The celebration is we ask for forgiveness of whatever offenses we have committed in a previous year, and we start a new year by seeking the blessing of the elders and the Vaishnav by inviting them in our house. So what I've done is analyze the scientific reason behind all these rituals, so-called rituals. So for 1 month, they are still visiting, inviting each other to their homes, and they have to make a point that they have to visit them, otherwise the person feel offended that you haven't come to my house for the new year.
Interesting.
It's interesting. Scientific.
No, I had an experience in India, and I've shared this with some of the local people here, because they see the, you know, I'm wearing beads and this thread, and they're asking about it, and so I tell them that it's from India, it's from Vedic culture. And one of the fond memories I have is I was a guest in a few times in India, and it's built into the culture that once in a lifetime, at least once in a lifetime, that God will come disguised as a guest or something. And so sometimes when you're a guest in a household, Indian household, they'll treat you like God. So when I tell people that, they smile and they think that's, you know, wow, you know. I mean, how many cultures do that?
Actually, it is in the Bhagavatam. It is in the Bhagavatam that an uninvited guest is called Atithi. And he is considered the representative of the Supreme Lord. Atithi means uninvited guest.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in the Bhagavatam. So, yes, so that is why we treat them like such. And Manu Samhita gives the rules for the guest even. And we have the example in the Bhagavatam or in Mahabharat of the duties of the guest. And this is in the example of the Pandavas when they stayed in the house of, was it a Brahmin that has to, in a village where they have to send one person to this Rakshasa, otherwise the whole village would be, disturbed, and he would eat the people indiscriminately. So Pandavas were staying in this house in disguise, and they were crying, and they said, "Why are you crying?" He said, "Today it is our duty to send one of our members, family members, for the Rakshasa, because every family sends one person." So then Bhima volunteered that I'm a guest, so it is our duty. In that section, it's mentioned that it is our duty to take on the work or whatever happens in their house and support them, the host, in whatever needs to be done. So Bhima said, "I will go and take care and be volunteer myself as one of the person to be eaten by the Rakshasa." And we all know what happened afterwards, right? But in that section, it is mentioned that the duty of a guest is to support the host in whatever activities they are doing. So obviously, it's two-sided.
Huh.
Yeah, we cannot just be, a guest is a guest for 3 days. Like we know, you're not supposed to stay more than 3 days in a holy place unless if you are a devotee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then they will start looking at the fault finding and committing offenses. So this is all intricate details, which is mentioned in the pages of Bhagavatam as well. So these are all principles of a civilized human society, which is what? Devi Varnashram. Right? So, yeah.
Mataji, I have a question.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this is also an extension of Devi Varnashram. I've stayed as a guest with Indian families and also devotees of Western culture, and also have had them come to visit me. And I've noticed that there seems to be it's like an unspoken understanding, or it's definitely a cultural thing, maybe left over from the Vedic times, where when you come visiting an Indian family, that you always must bring a gift. And then I've noticed that when you leave that family, they always give you gifts. And it seems, and Westerners don't do that, or they don't seem to know about doing that. So is that also a part of Vedic culture?
It is a part of Vedic culture, but it's more Vaishnava as well, right? We have the three exchanges.
Yeah. It's very nice.
We already have that. So when you go to somebody's house, it is natural that they're going to go out of their way to serve you, so we bring a gift. And then, especially when you leave, you can also give something to the children, if they have children. But because they see you as Brahmins or devotees who have dedicated your life, they give you when you leave. Because they, what they are trying to do is purify their karma, purify their household, you know, by giving you gifts. So gift giving is, that means immediately when you receive it, you feel obliged. In fact, it's mentioned that in Manu Samhita, I suppose, if you take a little bit of salt from anybody, that means you are obliged to serve them. And when we receive gifts, we are obliged to give them spiritual knowledge. So we have to, how can we give them, you know, unless, and otherwise they said it is understood that the karma will remain with us. So how can we nullify that karma? By being Krishna conscious fully, or by giving them Krishna conscious. So these are all subtle things, just like I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's memories today. And, you know, one gentleman, Indian man, wanted to come and touch Prabhupada's feet, and immediately he put his cane right in front of him. So he could not touch Prabhupada's feet. That was one time. Later on, he allowed him to touch his feet. Another time, he was saying to Gurudas, you know, see, all these people are coming to touch my feet. And then it was implied that we all know that people are coming to give karma, their karma, or nullify their karma by touching Srila Prabhupada's feet. So then Prabhupada said, I touch their head, so I return it back to them. It was so funny how he said it, and he laughed, you know. I give them back their karma by touching their head, you know. So, so as a Vaishnava, we have a big responsibility in this world. Anybody you come to, you know, you give Krishna consciousness one way or the other, right? Otherwise, it's considered violence from bhakti point of view. So you can see all these principles are so intertwined. Bhakti as well as varnashram, they're all intertwined, right? That's what I'm noticing.
Right.
And yes, I think there are some devotees who are teaching Manu Samhita in Mayapur. They're saying, in your leisure time, just read it once, read it twice, read it three times. And then, you know, you fully become aware of the principles of human life. That's it. You don't have to discuss, because Manu Samhita was not even supposed to touch by women. Why? Because Dharma Shastras are written so boldly and openly that it offends. We know that devotees in Dwarka feel so offended by some of the statements, New Dwarka, I mean LA, by some of the statements from Srila Prabhupada's books. Right? And it is mentioned that women are not supposed to read Vedic literatures because they don't even understand it. They take it out of context, right? You need an acharya, you need a brahmana to explain these things. So that is why we cannot take it out of context. So we have to study this in association. So when we study this literature in association, then Krishna personally reveals the answers to us. So, yes, Srila Prabhupada mentions this, this book should be read in association. And thanks to Ramananda Prabhu for creating this wonderful association. He's accruing a lot of benefits from this. Okay?
Thank you, Mother Gandhari. Thank you so much.
Goes to Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mother Gandhari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Glorious to Prabhupada.
Glorious to Prabhupada.